piece called Prelude from a piece called Book of Memory by Paul Lansky, and it is featured on a new record by the Janus Trio. What we have here, I think, is a number of pretty wonderful elements combining to somehow make something that is, to me, almost miraculous. The Janus Trio has been around for a while, like 15 years. They are nominally, I guess, what you'd call a Debussy trio, flute, viola, and harp. The members are Amanda Baker, Beth Myers, and Nuiko Wadden. If you know Lansky's music, he is known for a guy who worked with computers and voices. He wrote a series of pieces called Idle Chatter, More Idle Chatter. Very entertaining stuff. But then if you heard more of his music, you realize he has this sort of amazingly somewhat whimsical melodic quality to him. He's like an avant-gardist who writes very sweet melodic music. And in more recent years has written a lot of acoustic stuff. So he wrote this series of pieces for the Janus Trio. They not only play their regular instruments, but they sing, they play banjos, they play percussion instruments. And it's on this new recording on New Focus Records called Book of Memory. This is Phil Klein, and you are listening to Soundword.
And I'm Seth Bosted from Relevant Tones. Phil is with Q2 Music. We're so happy to present another in our ongoing collaborations with Soundword. And on today's show, we even have a bit of a theme, time travel. I think the Book of Memory fits well into that, which we opened up with. You know, Phil, I do know Paul Lansky mostly for his computer music. And so for me, this was kind of a revelation to hear this piece.
Yeah, he's had a fascination with folk music and folk instruments in the past. He's written quite a few pieces for classical guitar and also pieces that referenced American folk music. So although the piece to me is a surprise just in the sense of here's something wonderful that I didn't know existed before, it doesn't surprise me that Paul wrote it.
Yeah, this made me really want to hear more of his music, but I just didn't realize he handled acoustic instruments like this. And like you said, he has this really interesting gift for melody, although he's... How is he harmonizing that exactly with the voice? Do you know? Is that the computer part, or is that an actual singer that they brought in with the Janus Trio?
Those are members of the Janus Trio singing.
That's wonderful.
They don't list any electronics in the piece.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, because those harmonies are very close. They're very difficult to
Well, those girls have been working together for almost 20 years, I think.
Let's hear a little bit more. Let's hear the next piece is Antique Cadences.
Thank you.
This is a piece by Paul Lansky from this disc by the Janus Trio, Antique Cadences. This is a piece that Phil brought in. Phil, there's kind of an old-time sound there. It sounds almost Renaissance-y to me. Do you know what's going on with that piece?
Actually, I don't know the backstory of the piece, although it did occur to me while listening that, for one thing, listening to Paul's music over the last few decades, I've been aware of a certain kind of refinement or, you know, aging in the sense of fine wine aging. There's something, you know, this wonderful ripening and distilling, all these liquor references. I don't know that he drinks that much, but it occurred to me, this reminds me a bit of late Stravinsky. If you know Stravinsky's music from, say, the mid-50s on, it does keep going back to the Renaissance, even almost medieval-type stuff, both in text and texture. And it's fascinating to hear this because it does have a very antique sound. Not just that track.
Yeah, and that's a great reference to Stravinsky, I mean, who has this amazing ability to take Pergolesi or this older music and kind of filter it through this Stravinsky lens, which Lansky is definitely doing with his own kind of lens here. This is interesting because the next track that I'm going to play is called Omaggio a Gesualdo, or Homage to Gesualdo. Carlo Gesualdo was a late Renaissance composer, and the piece is by Eric Nathan, a composer that we've had on the program before. So I discovered this piece, although I didn't know it by Eric. I discovered it because one of our producers of Soundword gave us this theme, time travel. And so I went to the shelves. Normally, we're all about new releases on this show, so normally I'm using digital music that was sent to us. But I went to our burgeoning Relevant Tones library and was looking around for music that fit, and I liked this idea of a composer looking back to a composer like Gesualdo and channeling that spirit. So here is the Momento Quartet to perform Omaggio a Gesualdo. I like that music a lot. That's by composer Eric Nathan. It's called Omaggio a Gesualdo, or Homage to Gesualdo. The composer, Carlo Gesualdo, is who he's referencing here. And I was looking up the notes on it because, to me, Gesualdo is really known for these very clear lines, chromatic, melodic writing, certainly some unusual chord progressions. And here, the music, to me, it's so much more gestural. It's so much more rhythmic than I was expecting. There is a kind of old-school spacing in the chords that sounds like perhaps that type of music, Renaissance music, but or secular music from that time. But, I mean, it didn't sound specifically like Gesualdo. So I was looking up the notes, and it turns out what he's done is he's been inspired by a specific madrigal, Ai Desperata Vita, from Gesualdo, and he's used it as a model and then recast all of the gestures and musical motives into his own musical language. So that explains why it's not a direct homage to Gesualdo in that regard.
After all these centuries, Gesualdo's having quite a moment. I mean, there was recently some music written by the English composer Brett Dean that was music after Gesualdo. And hey, Stravinsky did that too. He wrote a piece called Monumentum Pro Gesualdo, in which he took a Gesualdo piece that was found unfinished in Gesualdo's own hand, and so Stravinsky finished it in his own hand. But what I thought of listening to this piece is that it was almost an homage to what we know of as Gesualdo the man. I mean, musically, he's a really unusual figure. Very late Renaissance, or going into the Baroque, and yet his music almost indicated a path that Western music could have taken but didn't. It's not 1-4-5 stuff. It doesn't resolve that way. It's extremely chromatic, and it's also it's vividly emotional in an almost painful way, which leads us to the fact that apparently he was truly a masochist. He was very much invested in pain, not only to himself but to others. And, of course, he did kill his wife, if you know your music history. So listening to this piece, I just thought of the intense pain, which sometimes in his music can be transferred from religious pain to personal pain to, but also just sort of like the odd gestures of sudden violence in this piece. And it kind of creeped me out, actually, in a good way, but
I think that's right. That's an interesting idea. Yeah, summoning the sort of spirit of Gesualdo in the music. Yeah, it's a really fascinating piece. I'd like to hear it performed live sometime. But it does kind of descend into, you know, some darker realms as well.
And I would recommend the Brett Dean piece, too. I know it's on ECM. I don't remember the title. But if anybody's adventurous, just look up Brett Dean Gesualdo and you'll find that one, too.
I think that's right. I feel like, you know, every couple of generations, composers rediscover Gesualdo and go, oh, my God, there was this anomaly, you know, back then, kind of doing his own thing, completely separate from what everybody else was doing.
Yeah. In his own little castle.
Exactly.
Next, I have a 2-CD set by the Los Angeles Percussion Quartet. It's called Beyond, and it features music by a number of composers, featuring a wonderful piece by Chris Cerrone, Memory Palace, a piece by Anna Thorvaldsdottir, and this Kvitolas by the Icelandic composer Daniel Bjarnason.
That's music brought in by Phil Klein, my co-host for Soundword. The piece is called Qui Tollis. It's by Daniel Bjarnason, and it's on a new disc by the Los Angeles Percussion Quartet called Beyond. What a journey that piece takes us on, Phil. That's really wild. It's very beautiful at the end. I assume those metallic sounds are bowed vibraphone or bowed crotale?
Sounds like it to me. Yeah, it's got to be what it is.
But they're using real bows, though, because, I mean, usually that breaks up. You know, percussionists usually will buy a cheap bow, and it doesn't make a very nice sound. That's a really gorgeous sound they're getting at the end.
Well, what occurred to me listening to the piece, it's got this beautiful, it's very much in three parts, and it's sort of like C is the mirror image of A, and then in the middle of you have this explosion. But then there's also the title, Qui Tollis, which comes from the Agnus Dei in the Mass. And Qui Tollis means who takes away the sins. Qui Tollis peccata mundi, who takes away the sins of the world. And so I thought, well, the Agnus Dei is in three parts, and it is kind of A, B, A. So I'd like to ask Mr. Bjarnason how much of this is in reference to the Agnus Dei from the Mass itself. But yeah, it's kind of like prayer, sacrifice prayer, something like that. But the sound, but it's one thing I've got to say about this entire record, it is beautifully recorded. This is one of the most beautiful percussion ensemble records I've ever heard.
Which isn't a word you normally associate with percussion quartet, and yet you're absolutely right. I mean, it's wonderful, the sounds that they get.
My favorite pieces on the record also are written in such a way to really exploit, especially the what we might say the non-percussive sounds. You know, they make the percussion instruments sing and... The middle of that Qui Tollis is the most banging you're going to hear on the whole record.
Well, we'll have more music from that disc in the second half of the program by Icelandic composer Anna Thorsvaldsdottir. You're listening to Relevant Tones, a show featuring the music of contemporary composers. And today is Soundword, an ongoing collaboration between myself and Phil Klein from Q2 Music, in which we play and talk about new releases or music that's new to us. To subscribe to our podcast for a complete playlist of the pieces that you've heard on the program today, or to listen to this or all previous episodes of Relevant Tones, you can go to relevanttones.com. And to hear a 24-hour stream of contemporary music like what we're playing on the show today, you can go to q2music.org. So this is probably the seventh or eighth time that I've gotten together with Phil Klein for Soundword, and it's always a great time because Phil brings in a lot of music I wouldn't have heard otherwise, and I often myself find music I wouldn't have heard otherwise as I'm researching the program. And this time around, one of our producers, Sarah Zwinklis, gave us this idea of having a theme, time travel. And so as I was looking around, I saw this new disc from Bowling Green University, which you may or may not know has become a bit of a hotspot for contemporary music in the last few years. In fact, the last New Music Gathering was there just a couple of months ago. And so they're releasing these CDs, New Music from Bowling Green. They had a 13-part radio series that ran for a while called New Music from Bowling Green as well. So I was interested in that right away, but they were also playing a piece by Xiaogang Yi, a Chinese composer I happen to know pretty well personally, and it was definitely a blast from the past for me. So this is time travel for me personally, because my organization, Access Contemporary Music, worked with him way back in 2006. We commissioned a piece called Datura, which is one of many pieces he wrote inspired by hallucinogenic plants. And it certainly sounds like that. So I really wanted to hear this work. And then it turns out this is an older work of his, too. This is the first orchestral piece that he ever wrote when he first moved from Beijing to Rochester. And if you've ever been to upstate New York, you know it's cold. And that was an unusual thing for him to be this cold. So here's an orchestral work evoking winter by the Chinese composer Xiaogang Yi. And we are going to hear the Bowling Green Philharmonic conducted by Emily Freeman Brown.
Thank you.
That's music by Xiaogang Yi, a Chinese composer, same generation as Chen Yi and Zhou Long, one of the first people to be admitted back into the Beijing Conservatory when it reopened after the Cultural Revolution. And he had a bit of a culture shock himself because shortly after he studied at Beijing, he went to Rochester to study at the Eastman School of Music, and he wrote this piece, Winter One, about his experiences there. Phil, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, like a lot of people these days in the new music world, I'm listening to a lot of Icelandic music, and the way that they evoke winter to me is a lot different. You hear this kind of stark stillness in the Icelandic version of winter, and it seems that this is a little bit different. It's not quite as austere.
One of the things I thought about when listening to this, other than the fact that it has a certain kind of beautiful gravity to it, is the way that a transplanted composer expresses him or herself. I thought of the Dvorak New World Symphony, actually, which, other than the slow movement that quotes supposedly quotes the spiritual, it basically sounds like a piece about Czechoslovakia or Bohemia or whatever. And in this piece, he might be in Rochester, but that sounds like winter in China to me. It brings out a certain kind of nostalgia in a composer. It's like Rachmaninoff's most nostalgically Russian pieces were written when he lived in New York, you know. This is really a very interesting piece. I didn't know this composer until, you know, a few hours ago.
Yeah, he's well worth checking out. A really prolific guy. You know, he chose to go back to China and stay there, and he's really considered one of the leading composers in China. But I think it's affected his, how well known he is in the West.
How old is he?
Same age as those guys. So he's probably, by those guys, I mean Zhou Long and Chen Yi. So upper 50s at this point.
No, really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely check out Xiaogang Yi. Well, let's go from that evocation of winter to a composer who's well familiar with that. And this is a track that Phil brought in.
This is a piece by Anna Thorvald's daughter. This is a piece from that Los Angeles percussion quartet record. It's called Aura. And what really strikes me about this piece, other than the exquisite craft, is how there's something about Anna Thorvald's daughter's music that it's almost as if the members of the ensemble, whether it be a chamber group or an orchestra, it's almost like they're not touching their instruments, like some weird spiritual wind enters the hall and just makes everything vibrate. And I think you'll sense this here. Thank you. Aura, music of Anna Thorvald's daughter, performed by the Los Angeles Percussion Quartet. I am struck by how natural her voice is writing for a percussion ensemble. It not only brings about unusual beauty in the instruments, but there's also a feeling of ceremony. You know, when you see a percussion group and they're standing there among their instruments, there is something very, it looks like they're ready to do a ritual. And in Anna's music, it sounds like it too. And that is from this new 2-CD set called Beyond, featuring the Los Angeles Percussion Quartet, which is on the Sono Luminous label.
Which has become the big purveyor of Icelandic music in the last year or two. You know, I totally agree that her sound transfers perfectly to Percussion Quartet. I mean, she's a composer who's having a big moment right now, and so I've heard a fair amount of her music. And it's the same sound. It's the same ethereal sound that you know, you think of with long string tones. Somehow she's transferred that very successfully to the percussion quartet medium.
All right. We heard the first two parts of Paul Lansky's Book of Memory. Now we'll hear the last two. This is a book of pieces with short interludes. So we will hear interlude number 6 and the Lament, which ends the piece, and it features the Janus Trio, Amanda Baker, Beth Myers, and Nuiko Wadden.
Thank you.
Two selections from Paul Lansky's Book of Memory. We heard the concluding sections, Interlude No. 6 and Lament, performed by the Janus Trio. And that is from a new disc that came out on New Focus Recordings, featuring the Janus Trio.
I have to say that that is really a great discovery for me personally. I'm really glad you brought that in, and as well as the Los Angeles Percussion Quartet. I mean, these are both discs that I didn't know that are just fantastic, but I'm especially enamored of the Paul Lansky, personally.
Paul is one of those guys who, he's always been there, sort of in the middle of things, and yet he's just the last guy in the world to ever, you know, like, grab the spotlight or demand the spotlight, and every now and then you just realize, there's Paul, you know? It's like, his music has pretty much been wonderful for about 40 years.
That last piece, just the plucking on the harp, the way that it just fades away like that. Mm-hmm. It's such a simple idea. I mean, and yet it's so beautiful and compelling.
Another thing that strikes me is when I put this disc on without knowing any of the backstory. I just put the disc on and I thought, wow, that's wild. This group, these three women have gotten together and created, you know, it's like they must live in a house somewhere, like the band, you know, the Bob Dylan's old band. They're living in a house together and they're creating this wonderful music that seems to come out of nowhere. And then I realized, oh, this was a piece written for them by Paul, and it sounds so simple, you know. The utterance is so unforced and so natural that it's like I said, it's kind of a little bit of a miracle, this record.
Well, you've been listening to Soundword. I'm Seth Bosted for Relevant Tones, here with Phil Klein from Q2 Music. You can hear a lot of music like this 24 hours a day at q2music.org.